to the Lord, and we're connected to his kingdom. So that's the story of the trailer. I mean, you know, the Lord provided a miracle for them.
That's right.
And for the body, you know, the testimony.
Yeah.
Not only that, the guy is on the he's on the city committee, and so Gene's talking to him about Jump for Jesus, and he's interested. So they have two events. They have a fair, and then they have like a Frontier Days, and so he's interested, and so they're he's going to go talk to his people and see if they can bring us in. So we get a jump out of it too. But today I was reading Psalm 78. The whole thing is really good, by the way. And Tom and Kay, I spent the weekend with them, and they he loaned me his wedding tape, you know, his DVD of him getting married, which both Carson and Lawrence spoke on. They were on the platform. Carson spoke about we few band of brothers, and you know, we're never going to be separated from each other, and da 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 da. And Lawrence spoke about a good wife is from the Lord, and a man who gets one obtains the Lord's favor, and da da da. So anyway, that was that. But Psalm 78 kind of talks about them too. But we talked Sunday, Gene was talking about passing on our legacy and our heritage to our children. Remember that? Remember him talking anything about that?
Yeah, our peace. Your children are walking the peace that they
walk in. That scripture in Isaiah 54, was it?
Yeah.
I got it written down.
Isaiah 54:10.
Yeah. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from thee, neither will my covenant of peace be removed. And verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Well, I was thinking about that.
Isaiah
54:13. And it has to do with Isaiah 54:10. My kindness will not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed from you, saith the Lord that has mercy on us. And your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Okay, now go to Psalm 78. I was just on the treadmill this morning, and I fell on this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard of old, and our fathers have told us. That's a key right there. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he's done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, and that the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. And I just fell on that this morning. But see, the word, Isaiah 54:12-13, has to do with this. So then I got to thinking, and a couple of questions came to me. If the Lord tarries 20 or 30 years, who will take over the ministry? 20 years, Gene will be 89. 20 years, I'll be 82. If the Lord tarries, maybe Gene will be older than that. You know, if the Lord tarries 30 years, he'll be 99. I'll be 92. You know, my grandma died when she was 52 of brain cancer. My grandpa died at 78. I think my dad died at 72. He's either 72 or 74. Gene's 69. He's still jumping the motorcycle. He'll jump this year, and he'll probably jump next year. And whether he jumps another year after that or not, we'll see. But when you get older, as you all, most of you know, when you get older, 20 years and 30 years means a whole lot more, because it affects you more, and it affects you in ways that you wouldn't have even dreamed of. I mean, all you got to do is listen to Martin. I used to be able to do this, and I don't understand why this is happening, and da-da-da-da-da. He's going on 91. Yeah. You know? Sometimes things happen to me, and I don't even know they happen. I don't remember things, you know? And you know, you can't compare everybody to everybody. Sure. But the point is, if the Lord tarries another 20 or 30 years, how prepared are you? And what are you doing to prepare yourself to step into a place of leadership? And what kind of a leader will you be? What spirit will you be of? Now, this is real sobering if you look in the mirror. What spirit will you be of? Because that's the spirit that you're going to serve people. How much of this doctrine in this pamphlet, I think we all have one. This is like one of the foundational pamphlets of our ministry, this New Life Messenger pamphlet. Listen to a couple of things. To teach is to impart knowledge. To train is to make one become prepared or skilled. Training encompasses both knowledge and works. And the things of God are imparted spiritually by hearing and doing, not by learning and doing. Hearing from the voice. But let's go back to training. To training is to make oneself become prepared or skilled. I can't make you be prepared. I can't make any of you be prepared. All I can do is present to you the spirit and the knowledge of what you need to be imparted and what you need to receive. But the actual training is up to you. How much of this do you have living in you, and how much of it do you really know? Now, let's go back to motivating sins. Let's lay aside the sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Well, when we're under leadership, when we're riding on the coattails of leadership, whether we do, whether we don't, you know, it may affect a few people, it may affect our family, but it doesn't affect the ministry, not really. I mean, Lawrence and Carson falling away, Wilson, you know, Hoover falling away, they, you know, the ministry doesn't skip a beat. We suffer loss to some degree. You know, we suffered loss when Chris died. You know, we suffer some loss when people are gone in one way or another. But it doesn't affect the ministry as a whole. It goes on. The body picks up the parts that are missing, and somehow this gets covered and that gets covered, and we go on. But if the Lord tarried 20 or 30 years, who would be ready to step in to a place of leadership? Who would be ready to step in to a place of serving? Who would be ready to step into a place of responsibility? Who would have the spirit of this ministry living in them and carry that on and present that to your children, and then your children could present it to their children, and da 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 until the Lord comes? How would we carry on? And so we have to each ask ourselves, you know, would I carry on through my gifting? Would I carry on through administration? What spirit would I have? You know, human reasoning? Is that what I'm going to serve the body? Am I going to serve the body my identity? Am I going to serve the body my faithlessness? Am I going to serve the body my critical spirit? I mean, what am I going to serve the body? And this is where the rubber meets the road. And, you know, as long as Gene's here, as long as I'm here, you know, as long as Cece's here, or some different people, we can ride their coattails. But how much am I preparing myself? How much am I training myself up? How much of this am I grabbing to myself? Not just for myself, but for the sake of those who are going to be hearing me get up and talk. What am I going to talk about? If I don't talk about anything but Christ crucified in my life, then I'm a deceiver. That's all I have to talk about. Christ crucified in my life, in his resurrected spirit, and hearing from his voice, and keeping his covenant, and following his commandments, and passing these things on to each other in the fear of the Lord, being filled with his Holy Spirit, operating in the gifts and the ministries of the Spirit. This is what we have to pass on to others. And so I'm speaking to you as men who, you know, potentially should be looking at leadership and taking this on in yourself. And if we serve people the spirit that we're under, the weight that does so easily beset us, if we serve them that, if that's the spirit that I maintain within myself, if I don't walk in the losing of life, and gaining Christ in my life, if I don't walk in that, then what am I serving people? Am I going to serve them the law? Or am I going to serve them the Spirit? And you know, each one of us should take a sober look at ourselves and say, this is foundational. How much of this actually lives in me? How much of what I've been sitting under for the last 20 or 30 years or 10 years or 5 years or whatever, how much of it has become part of who I am? And so, you know, so it's a sobering message. It says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. His lifestyle, it means to do things as he did it and to instruct his men to do the same. To deny self is to reject worldly humanistic standards and practices and methods for personal accomplishment and gain, and to completely trust in him for your success. And it goes on. But, you know, the thing that I was thinking about is the scripture that the Lord gave me. And that's Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Gene said, walk in this for a year, and the Lord will give you back what you lost. Well, first of all, I didn't think that was possible. And the second thing was, I didn't know what I lost. But it says this, it says, verse 11 in Hebrews 5 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. For when the time is that you ought to be teachers, you have need again one to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, and become of such that need milk and not strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. And you know what that means? The word doesn't apply to me, and I haven't changed my life according to the word. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. Knowledge and training, hearing and doing. Even those who by reason of use exercise their senses and they discern both good and they discern evil. And you know that begins within us. And whatever servants we are to, whatever servant, you know, whatever things we obey, we're the servants of that. And how can we serve anything other than who we are? We can't. We may utter the words, but really what it is it's flattery and it's hypocrisy. Because what Jesus will honor is us serving spirit and truth. And truth is nothing more than walking in the light. Walking in the light with each other. And the principles of the word, of being in communion with each other and putting away arguing and bickering and comparing and all this kind of stuff. So then you go to Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, because strong meat belongs to them who discern good and evil, therefore, and Bob Mumford used to always say, what's the therefore? Leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, but to faith towards God in the baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection and the eternal judgment. Anyway, you know, I guess my point is that we need to we need to take a look at ourselves and the things that we allow and the things that we excuse within ourselves and ask ourselves, is this something that we want to feed to other people? And is this something we want to be accountable to before the Lord for serving other people? And you know, what is my motivation? To serve or to be served? And so, you know, these are some sobering questions that, you know, that we need to ask ourselves. How much of the spirit of this ministry do I have living in me? And what do I need to do to get it? And, you know, training is not just sitting under a teaching, but training is the self-application of that particular word in my own life. And in the life of my family, and in the life of my brothers, and it takes away all excuses, and it takes away all accusation, and it looks at me and said, if I was up here, and I was preaching the word, what word would I preach? What am I serving the body of me? Because I can't serve the body anything except for who I am. Mm-hmm. So, that's my message. So what do you think?
I had a dream the other night. It was just a really short dream. Almost kind of the ones you wake up and you're like, you know, what does that mean? But it goes along with what you're talking about, because in the dream, something was going on, and I think I was in Gene's office. And I was like asking him, you know, one of those times where you're kind of in there like, you know, well, what do I do? You know, what's, you know, I'm in a pickle here. It was something like that. I don't even know what the situation was. But, and it's like, he was like, you do what's right. I won't tell you. You do what you think you need to do. I want you to do what you think you're supposed to do. And I was like, but I, you know, I'm like, seriously, like, tell me what to do. And he was like, no. He was like, I want you to do what you think is right, and then you come back to me and tell me what you figured out. Then the dream ended. You know? But it's basically the same thing you're talking about. It's like, so when I woke up, I was like, okay. And I don't remember if that was after Sunday or not, but it to me, it really went in with peace. Because each man has to do what brings himself peace, you know. Each guy has to, something may be peaceable for one guy, you know. Each guy has his own convictions.
Yeah.
And that's what I really felt like the dream was, you know.
Really kind of, in one sense, inspired me, you know, because what you're saying, it's like, I think I have relied upon you and Gene to just kind of have the mantle, so to speak, and I think one of the things you said was, you know, when you're talking about strong meat, belongs to those exercises.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the thought that came to me was just, that is, self-judgment is really the fruit of that. Being able to judge your own motives, your intentions, to where you're able to judge yourself, or you don't have people having to judge you all the time.
That's right.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing where I would say is, like, the next step is really judging your motivational sins and really judging that, because it's like, I think about the word that came to me was for myself. The thought came back to me, which really scares me in one sense, but in another sense, it's like a double-edged sword. Scares me, but at the same time gives me hope.
Yeah.
And it was really for Jake, but it was saying, you know, you'll follow in your father's work and in his life. Let's see, like, that's great. What's this? It's like, oh, shit, you know, I'm going to make sure I get my life, I get my act together. You know, and it's just, there's certain things when I see him, it's like I just I see myself, and you know, it's just, It is amazing. It is such a miracle. You know, we see how your kids are a reflection of you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like for me, as you know, I'm thinking about 20 or 30 years down the road. I mean, there's one thing I can see myself, you know, when you think of like leadership or whatever, I have there's nothing in me that wants to be team or you, no offense, but I mean,
I didn't want to be it either.
You know, it's like, there's nothing in me that wants to be a bass or a shepherd or anything like that. I mean, so just in case you're wondering, you guys can cross that one off the list.
Hey,
not
when,
that you were looking
Rick,
that way anyway, but.
When Rick went to Tonga, and we had the 55-gallon tank cycling nothing, and the electric meter that ran the tank itself was going zzz, 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 zzz. You know, I was talking to the Lord about all this, you know, what are we going to do? Should I keep this going? Should I shut it down? And he was in Tonga, and it didn't look like he was coming back. And you remember Shark's Cove?
Yeah.
Up by Waimea?
Yeah.
Remember how it was with the lighthouse on it, and they had the tide pools and everything? Well, I saw, in my mind's eye, I saw the tide going out. And I saw the tide pools, you know, with like little fish in the tide pools and everything. And I saw the tide going out. And it just kind of troubled me. Because it was like the anointing was going out. You know, the covering was going out. And I said, Lord, I said, who's going to fill it? Who's going to fill this spot? Said, you are. So, I mean, I didn't dare tell anybody, you know, hey, I feel like the Lord's telling me to step into the place of shepherding, you know, because anybody who would have done that then would have got noosed. And I just started making decisions. And people are going like, well, who made, you know, who died made you king, you know, And I called Gene and I said, you know, I said, this is what I saw and this is what I feel. And I said, I think I need to shut this thing down. And he said, do it. He said, you know, take authority, do it. Do what you need to do there, you know. And so I started taking authority, and my authority was to dismantle everything and to get people back to building. That's what my motivation was, and that's what my authority was. And that night that we took Rick to the airport to go to Tonga, I got a job working on the Air Force base in the commissary, which I applied for just out of chance 6 months before. And they told me that if I didn't call every week that I'd never get the job. Well, I never called once. And on the night that I took him to the airport, right before we got in the car to take him to the airport, I get a call. They said, do you want the job? I said, yeah. They said, you can work from 6 to 12 or 6 to 2. And I inquired of the Lord. I said, should I work midnight or should I work till 2? Felt like the Lord said, work till midnight. I said, I'll work till midnight. From midnight to 2 a.m., I went out, walked, and prayed on the base. Base was wide open back then. Mm-hmm. And in walking and praying, the Lord showed me. That's what I saw. I didn't see anything about anybody else. I saw me. I saw everything that I've been doing for the last 10 years. I saw me. You know, and I went through a time of breaking. It was pretty dramatic. It went on for months. And after several months, I began to have questions about other things going on in the ministry. So, you know, I had a question about so-and-so. And so I'd go to them and say, you know, I've been kind of thinking about this. What, you know, you're doing this. You know, what do you think about what you're doing? And I get the song and the dance, you know, and I didn't really have a whole lot of discernment. And so I go away. And when I go away, I realize I'm not settled with their answer. And so another question would come to me. And I go back to them again, and I'd say, well, you know, you said this, but when you said this, it didn't really sit right because it seemed to me that this is this. What do you think about that? Well, then there'd be the sidestep, you know, da 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 da. Still not clear. I go away. I can't let this thing go. All of a sudden, I've become like a bloodhound on a trail. I don't even know what I'm looking for. And then I go back to him again. And I say, you know, you said this, and you said this, and you said this, and you know, and I'm not really settled with any of this. Well, then they get mad. Well, when they got mad, I realized that they were cloaking something. And so I began speaking to what they were cloaking. And that's kind of how I ended up in it. So I wasn't looking for any place. I wasn't looking to be in a position. I never wanted to be in any position. I just was the guy who saw it. So I was the guy who had to respond. And, you know, but the thing is, and, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not predicting, you know, anything bad's going to happen to anybody. Right. But the thing is we need to make ourselves prepared.
I guess, I wasn't thinking like that either. I was just, I'm trying to put myself in, like, thinking of it. Thinking of, you know, if I continue on just being who I am.
Wait, yeah.
What's that going to look like in 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not happy with that.
Honestly. Yeah.
You know? I mean, do I really want to be in and out, hot, cold, and just, you know, struggle with lust, struggle with worldliness, struggle, you know? Rather than, it's like a thought that came to me. This is great, because there's a lot of things that's going through my mind.
Yeah.
This is happening. And one of the things is like, you know, it's like the thought is like, you know, desperate times come for desperate. Call for desperate measures. You know, it's like certain things I should be setting my spirit to do, like putting off and taking on, you know.
Yeah.
And I start thinking about, it doesn't matter if some of the TV shows that I've watched, just out of emptiness and just being carnal.
Yeah.
And feeding my spirit in the word, you know. Or,
yeah.
It's the little things.
Well, where is your focus?
Right. And that's where I see is a lot of times I don't have any focus. I'm just living in the emptiness of word. Well, you find a lot of your identity in what you do, and I find a lot of fulfillment in that. But when I get home and I'm not working, there's an inactivity and an emptiness that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
And really, the reality of it is I don't always fill it with my wife, my children, the Lord. I don't do that. And so my tendency is to just go back to the familiar. My tendency is just to fill it with emptiness. And so what I'm seeing, I guess, tonight is, I'm not thinking 20 years down the road. I'm not thinking about all that crap. Obviously, like what you said, there's times I can relate to what you're saying when you talk about asking. I mean, there's happened to me a few times like that where it's like just out of the blue, you're thinking about somebody and you start calling me. You're like, well, what you said, you know, I can totally relate to that. It's like just filling the void when it presents itself.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that. But there's times where I've relied upon my gifting and what I see in the judgment that I have to do that, but it doesn't mean that I'm right with the Lord, and it doesn't mean that I'm current with the Lord. It just means I can not fake it, but I mean, it's like not having necessarily a current word for somebody, and I'm relying upon some testimony here. And those are the things that where I see tonight for myself, what I need to do is really be setting some disciplines from life and just really making a plan as to what to do with the inactivity.
Yeah.
And making a plan to be in the Word. And it's not just it's not just the discipline.
Right.
Okay. But it's really choosing this day who I'm going to serve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I guess, what I'm seeing is just, it's like I allow all these other things in my life because I don't or I've lost that sharpness of spirit.
Yeah.
And
you know what it is? It's two things. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit, for one thing. It's praying in tongues. And the other thing it is proven character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And proving character is what makes you strong inside. And it's what makes you a faithful man. That's what, remember when we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. How do you see yourself? You know, and the little revelation that you've got, you know, that I see myself as, you know, kind of like a ship in the sea, and what was that word start with an R?
Resolute.
Resolute. There you go. What is resolute? What does it mean to be resolute?
Steadfast.
Right. It's I don't know if you call it a manifestation, but it's a character trait. Being resolute, being steadfast, mm-hmm. being dependable, you know, and you know. So we're talking, you know, I'm using the analogy of 20 or 30 years, but what if, this is a big if, what if we all decided to walk in the revelation of Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, putting behind us the doctrine of repenting from dead works. What if we all, you know, individually, what if we all, you know, took it upon ourselves to train ourselves up in the areas where we fall short, and to become like the word of the Lord to Josh was, I want you to be resolute. I want you to see what resolute means. I want you to understand it. I want you to walk in it. I want you to train yourself. I want you to make it who you are. And, you know, we don't have to have a bad name. You know, when we're living in the flesh and we're living in carnality, what we're really doing is we're giving ourselves a bad name. You know, if you look at the ones who fell away, you know, Lawrence has a bad name, Carson has a bad name, Wilson has a bad name, Hoogler has a bad name, the Barbers have a bad name. You know, it doesn't mean that they can't be saved. But it just means that their proven character proved them to be this. And what if we dealt with those things within ourselves, it brought us to a higher level of faith together to have something to offer this body that it doesn't have because we still walk in the principles of repenting from dead works. What if we move on to the next level? What if we move on into the resurrected spirit of Christ? What if we put away the old man? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Do we really believe that that's possible?
Yes.
It is possible. It's possible because you have people in your midst who have given you this example, and the old man that they were, they no longer are, and even in your own lives, there are characteristics of the old man that used to live that no longer lives. And because you have those little examples in your life, that should give you faith. So, what are we going to pass on to our children? And what are we going to pass on to our children's children? And what are our children's children going to pass on to their children? How are we going to keep the spirit that the Lord has given us of this foundation alive? by becoming that ourselves. Not just by doing it blindly, but becoming it. And there's a difference between doing works and becoming. When you become, there's a transformation. When you become, there's a regeneration. And so that's the challenge. The challenge is, if, you know, for some reason I had to stand up here before the congregation, what spirit would I serve them? Would I serve them what's been served to me? Or would I serve them myself? What spirit would I serve them? And you know how I'll know what spirit I'd serve them? By what I do today. And what I do every day. And how I make my life. See, that's being resolute.
Watched this movie, that movie Woodlawn, you know, that Gene talked about a little while ago, and I ended up watching it, and one of the things I noticed, like, back in the set, like, just even in the movie it was showing, was back in the 70s, it was like the guy just kind of had a simple message, but people responded to that. It didn't take like a miracle for people to just turn their heads and like and just give their life to the Lord. It was like that they just kind of responded. And from that little movement, the movement got bigger. But it's just kind of like what you're saying is just like, if it's like, kind of like what it was saying too, is like passing that along. It's like somehow over from the 70s to now, it's like you can see that it's like people need, it's like they need a huge miracle for something to turn their hearts towards the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, in some cases, but it just, that's what something I was seeing in it. But, you know, It's what's happened is people aren't sharing their testimony. People aren't doing what you're saying, you know, to do, putting away those things so then they can share, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit to impart that to their children.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what didn't happen for me. Like when I got filled, or when I, you know, nobody told me about anything about the Holy Spirit until I came to this ministry. And nobody told me about anything about being, you know, how important it is to speaking other tongues. All that was, you know, was different. And now all of a sudden it's like coming to this ministry, because of that, that's changed my focus, even for my children's sake. But that's what I have to offer to them going forward. So then that's what they can be sharing to their children.
Yes.
I mean, just, you know, from just what you're saying. But it just was, the difference is like that wasn't, it's like, where is that at now?
Yeah.
Because there's people, you know, from the 70s to now, you know, what happened to those people?
Yeah, the Lord said, it's in Isaiah, the Lord said, who will stand in the gap for me? You know, who will be the repairer of the breach? Who will stand in the gap for me?
I think it goes, because, I mean, this is the way I hear it too, it's like, how fast is everybody, in a sense, myself included, willing to say, sure, I'll step up. I'll take the bullet. Absolutely. If you're going to get shot, I will take the bullet for you. I didn't ask you to do that. I just want you to pick up the dirt behind me. Well,
no,
you know.
No, thank you. Yes.
I can't do that. And I want you to do it tomorrow, and I want you to do it the next day. I want you to do it the day after that, and I want you to keep doing it until I tell you to stop. Well, I don't really want to do that.
Right.
Then you're not ready, you know. Yeah, everybody, it's like.
That is funny, yeah.
Along with that, because I was thinking the same sort of thing the other day, was like, the quick and easy would be like the one-time glory-filled thing. Like, I'll lay down my life for you. I'll take a hit, get hit
yeah.
by a car. But will you do the dishes today? Mm-hmm. Instead of going to the gym?
Yeah.
Laundry? Because for me, when I think about that, when I look back at my time here, is there was a lot of emotional. I've been emotionally led, and also with my head, my brain. Because there's a whole lot of things. You can know that. But the true test is when the rubber meets the road, when your will gets crossed, when you want to go do your thing and you must lay down your life. And your spirit says, I want you to do this. That to me is, that's where like the leaving the first works, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Hearing and doing like what your dream was to to me, what are you, do you hear and do? And
yeah.
It's not always like, because kind of like what you were saying, Jeremy, is like for me right now, I don't think about like a 20-year, 30-year like leadership or whatever. But my hope is that if I walk after what the Lord's telling me today and these decisions, that I will be prepared. And that living in that and not looking for some emotional high. Like, you know, I used to think like if I got prayed for, well, then I've arrived. Oof. That's not the truth. You know, that's not,
that's just,
you know, prayer is great.
Your sorrows.
Yeah, prayer, you know what I mean? Like, prayer is great. And I
just like,
you know,
baptism, you know.
Yeah.
You start something.
Yeah,
I'm clean,
it starts something,
I'm
I'll take it.
Yeah.
But
no,
it's like what you're saying, the training, it exists, it's integrity when nobody else is watching you.
Yeah.
To me, that tells me how much that really lives in me. When nobody's watching, right? And
yeah.
I know, I want you to do this. That to me tells me really where I'm at with the Lord. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of times it's been pretty darn selfish because the same things like at home, you know. But, you know, where we're at right now, what we're heading towards is for us to be in unity, to follow peace in life. What do we have life in right now, Lynette and I? Have people over, you know.
Yeah.
Not have some big agenda. See, I used to feel like I had to have people over. Gather around the table and, you know, have to have something.
Yeah.
You know what? Just want to love people. This is the house the Lord has given us. This is the food that he's given us. We're happy to have a table. We'll have you guys over.
He'll
Lord,
give
please
you,
be here and let it be. Whatever that is.
He'll give you what you need.
Right. But that's, it's more of I used to have this grandiose, worldly, false hope.
Yeah.
And thank God, it's not been the easiest thing in one sense. It's been kind of tough, but it's a good thing. I'm glad I'm going through this because it's a slow and steady walk.
Yeah.
That's what I want to impart. My hope is to impart to my kids is it's not this emotional high thing. It's not always you're going to be up here and over there and doing quote unquote great things. The great things is serving each other. The great things
yes.
is us going out in public as a family. And just loving each other and maybe giving some kid hope, you know,
yeah,
that it does exist, you know. So that's kind of really where we're at. And then also not in that, secluding ourselves.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be part of the body. And so it's like a spiritual adjustment, kind of trying to go with the flow with that too, you know. But, you know, that's kind of where we've been at. And as the Lord leads and as we have peace and we talk about it and we feel right with it, looking to serve different people, you know? And love. Just a simple thing, so.
Now here's, that's good. That's good. You know, and the Lord will give you, you know, when you set that table, the Lord will give you what he wants you to talk about. You don't have to conjure anything up.
Right. That's my hope, too. Like
yeah.
When you came over and you said, some will come upon you, maybe that you've never had before. I believe those words, but I'm not going to try to make it happen.
Yeah.
But I believe in that. You know? I
yeah.
want that to be, but I'm not going to try to make it happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because I've done that, too.
Yeah.
Tried to.
Well, the word says be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I mean, if you feel like you have to say something, a lot of times...
With strife.
Yeah.
Which I've done that quite.
Which I have, yeah.
Now here's the negative side of it. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. This is Jeremiah 17:1. Sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron with the point of a diamond. It's graven upon the tables of their hearts and upon the horns of their altar. While their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. So this guy didn't deal with his sin, and his children followed after his example. And, you know, we need to we need to be willing to put away, to cast off, to renounce. And we need to be willing to affirm and draw to and cleave to and all these things, you know, the right fruits of the Spirit. And it begins by our relationships with one another. And, you know, our relationships with one another really are centered around our relationship with the Lord. We can't have a good relationship with one another if we don't have a good relationship with the Lord. And that is self-reflection. And if we don't operate in the principles of self-reflection, then all we can do is contend with each other and accuse and excuse. And that's about as deep as it's going to get. And to be carnal. And it begins with our confessions one to another and are willing to do whatever it takes to please the Lord. And, you know, we can't look at the other guy. We have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves first. And if we look at ourselves first and we're really honest with what we see in ourselves, we're probably not going to have a problem with the other guy. And the only problem that we would have with the other guy is to say he's not walking in truth, and it's our desire to help him if we can. But nevertheless, you know, when it comes right down to it, whatever training we get, it's what we give ourselves to. We can sit under the teaching of training, but training isn't going to do us any good until it becomes part of me. And even if I don't see it all in the beginning, I set my face towards something of what the Lord is asking me. And that, you know, that's the deal. We determine within ourselves that we're going to be upright. We determine within ourselves we're going to be truthful. We determine within ourselves that we're going to be clean. We determine within ourselves that we're going to be humble. We have to determine these things within ourselves in order for the Lord to be able to help us. And for each other to be able to help us. And our goal is to help each other be helpers of their joy. That's our goal. But I think we need to look at Hebrews 6:1 in that it's time to move on past the repentance of dead works and have faith towards God in walking in His kingdom and being a testimony of one who walks in His kingdom. I think that's where we're at. And whether the Lord tarries 20 or 30 years, you know, whether I'm here, whether Gene's here, we're of the same spirit. We're all of the same spirit. And we are entered into the spirits of the just men made perfect. And that's the spirit that we carry because that's the spirit that was foundationally put in us. And so it becomes a matter of acceptance or denial. Am I gonna present my own spirit, or am I going to present the spirit of what the Lord has presented to me? That's the message. So this should give you hope.
It does.
And it should give you focus and it should give you direction. Mm-hmm. And if you've been floundering, you know, pick up this pamphlet and just read it and apply it to yourself. And when you apply it to yourself, you'll go through times of brokenness too. And you'll see your independence, and you'll see your rebellion, you'll see your pride. And when you let go of those things and you start grabbing on to and making part of your life and making that your fight, and it doesn't mean that you get there right away, but it's like your focus changes and that becomes your fight. You no longer fight to defend the old man, but you fight to put the old man to death. That becomes your fight. And your fight is to take on the new man. And you talk about it with each other. They who feared the Lord spoke often one to another. You put aside your differences. And you judge yourself. Then you have communion. And when you come into each other's presence, you feel good. And the mystery of communion is that when you come together in His Spirit and in His name, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. The mystery is you get washed, and you get regenerated, and you get inspired. And you get revelation. It's all good. So.
That is good. Of course, I know for me it's like 20 years down the road, 41. Oh my gosh. I have no idea. I can't even comprehend that, you know. But, you know. But when we're just sitting here, the scripture just came to me. You know, while it is said today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that, it's like, while it's today, you know, it's like just catching the little things, you know, that take me out, or, you know, the little foxes that spoil the vine, or the attitudes, you know, that I can get into, or, you know, it's like those are the thoughts, you know, and it's like, for me, it's like being sensitive to the little things to where I can hear the voice say, I know what that is.
Yes.
You know, and not get stuck in the rut, like, just acting out.
And, you know, I'd say that scripture is the word of the Lord to us right now. While it is today that you're hearing His voice, harden not your hearts. So let's pray. This should give you a new focus for when you come together. And it should give you a new focus on what I need to do with my life personally. And it should give you a new focus on what spirit am I serving the body. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Sow it in our hearts. Yes. We just yield ourselves to you, your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's really, really good. I mean, that's like, you know, it's like, I mean, there's some messages that you really, it's like you can think back and there's some messages that you've heard over the years that were like things that stuck to you personally or were just kind of like Hallmark type moments, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I totally can, I mean, Jeremy, I felt articulated very well. I mean, at least for my, you know, where I'm at too, that, I mean, articulated exactly, I mean, you just put it in the words, you know, that very well. And I totally can relate to where he's at. But it was inspirational. I mean, it was really inspiring to me because, you know, looking back, you know, with just what's been going on with me, you know, the last several months, you know, especially with work and all that, and it's just like the Lord's really been after the character change, you know, and just
yeah.
the, and it's like, you know, it's like trying, you know, kind of working your way, kind of fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, you know, your way through it, but being able to see a little bit more clearly of, you know, not only why is that happening, but you know, what I can give myself to. You know, it does
without,
give me hope and faith.
Without a spiritual vision, people perish.
Yeah.
You know, and the floundering and, you know, yeah, I rise and I fall and I rise and I fall and I continue to get myself to this. You can pass by all of that just by getting out of yourself and looking at the rest of the body.
That's right.
And saying, how do I affect them? You know, the thing that Hoodler did not believe was that, you know, his pornography watching and all that stuff was going to, you know, and the other stuff that he was doing was going to affect his family. He didn't believe it. But, you know, it bore fruit. And you know, whether he believes it or not, he's bearing the fruit of it. You know, and he's bearing the fruit of it in his kids. Mm-hmm. And what we do really does affect other people. Whether we believe it or not, and if we don't believe it, we're self-deceived.
Yeah. I just wanted to read this. Just thinking about it today, the word actually is proved, like you're talking about, being proven.
Yeah.
You know, even these times, it's like, and you feel pricked. But it's Deuteronomy 8. It's pretty much the whole thing, but it says, in all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And thy raiment waxed not old, your shoes lasted. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastens his son, the Lord thy God chastens thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land, lands of brooks and waters and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it, and whose stones are iron, and whose hills you may dig out brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he's given thee. And beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built a goodly house, and hast dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and thou hast multiplied, thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of your bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there was fiery serpents, and there were scorpions, and droughts, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers didn't know, that he might humble you, improve you, to do you good at your latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand has gotten me where I am today. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth and to establish his covenant. To establish his covenant, to establish his contract, to establish his word that he's given to us, which he swear unto your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God.
That's Deuteronomy 8.
It's Deuteronomy, yep, just the whole chapter 8.
And Psalm 78 goes right alongside that. This is all being recorded by somebody, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
You know what's crazy, too? I think it was, honestly, I think it was before Gene even started talking about. It was last week. It was like last Monday or Tuesday. I was like, I was either driving or laying in bed. And I was thinking, you've all heard the song, the Chris Rice song, Mama Prays.
Yeah.
It's a song, and it says, basically, it just goes, you know, Mama Prays, and Jesus stands beside us. Daddy Prays, and the devil has to run. It's wow. Basically, and it's like, I was thinking about Dan and Jay at the time, and I just started thinking about, you know, I just about started crying because I thought, man, you know, what would your kids say that of you, that, you know, mom, you know, my mom prays and Jesus is there, you know, would that be, it was just, yeah, I didn't really even connect the dots until just now.
Well, you could say that, Jeff. You can say that.
Yeah.
That's your testimony. Mama prayed and Jesus stood beside me. Right,
wow.
Well, we're leaving Friday and we're going to Aspen first, and then we're going to Denver, we're going to Aspen. Then we're going to stop in and see Ross Talbot, and I don't know, maybe Scott, and then we're going to stop in Cheyenne at some point and see if we can get something going in Cheyenne, get some jumps going. See if Ross, you know, Ross Talbot, see if, you know, he wants to do something. Maybe see if Scott wants to do something. So, we were thinking about just going to Colorado Springs and just basically going there and heading back, and then Cece said, you know, why don't you see if Ross Talbot, you know, wants to do something. And
who's Ross Talbot?
He runs that Apple Tree
Trailer Park.
Well, it's more than that, yeah, now. It's a city now. It's a kingdom. He has his own fire department. You know.
Was that the first place he
grocery
did?
Stores?
He did
a whole thing with house trailers, made a whole community of house trailers, And now I guess they got buildings and schools, and it's its own kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's a guy, you know, we've known him for years. We did a jump there years ago when you and Dan first started out.
That's when you came up to him afterwards and said, you guys were bad.
I said, you guys sound terrible. You shouldn't do this anymore.
Dan was stomping on the stage. And yeah. It was like sending like feedback through the speakers.
Yeah.
And I was singing the altar call song, and I forgot the song. Halfway through it, we had to start over.
And then
out of the corner of my eyes,
you
see the guys at the ramp
starting
laughing.
it was bad.
I didn't help matters.
Well, you know what's funny? What's worse about that is like right before is at that church, Gene had prophesied over us, Psalmist of God, right? And then goes to Dan, Psalmist of God. And it was like, maybe you guys should sing a song. I'm like, this is it. The dead are going to rise. Something great's going to happen. Wow. And then that happened. It was like, I saw it going a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then we drove all the way back to Montana 5 miles per hour.
The dead were rising. They're like, what is that awful noise? Who are these people? Where did they come from?
You guys sound terrible. You shouldn't do this anymore.
But I figured it could never get any worse than that. Crash and burn.
Follow up from here.
Yeah, that's right. And the guys were laughing. Like, you guys could see them like ducking down, Wade and Brandon behind the ramps, laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know.
That just helps. That makes it even worse too.
Yeah. That was it.
Leave it to Joe to say an encouraging word.
Yeah. But you know what the truth is, though? That's what was a proving time, though, too. Because if there was ever one time I was ever going to quit, that was it. I'm serious. That was it. I was like, when you said that, I was like, guitar, one, and a two, and a wait. You know?
Gene, I don't think you're going to be calling the song.
I'll tell you what, though. It was beautiful at that place, the view of the mountains.
Yeah.
You know, the red rock and the green. It was beautiful.
Yeah, he's got his own kingdom. He's got his own church, and they got their own doctrine. You know, everything's about him. But you know, we've had a relationship with him over the years, and I guess he's turning 80 this year.
Wow!
And so, you know,
time has a way of dealing with issues.
Yeah.
Things.
So we're going to stop in there. So, you know, we may not be back till next Friday.
No.
We may be gone a week.
Yeah. And even that, because I've seen on Facebook a couple times where Gene jumped in the Denver Stadium parking lot.
Yeah.
Is he going to stop by in there and try to?
Yeah, they're the church that brought him in. It's called a Happy Church.
Oh, I used to go there, man.
Yeah, we're going to stop in there, I think.
The what ministries?
It's Happy Marilyn Hickey Ministries, Happy Church. It used to be a mall.
Gene sent them a couple emails. They haven't responded to anything. So
I was thinking even Jump Jesus, you know, that the red shirt thing on Sunday. That my thing there was like I
didn't know anything about that. Of course, I was out of it.
Yeah, you were out of it. But that was my...
I was sick as a dog.
My thought there was... And I didn't... I just kind of had it. I was like, yeah, it'd be nice. We should just all wear our shirts today. But then, it's like, as I started thinking about it, I was like, you know, first of all, if I was Gene, what would that do for me? Especially getting ready to go on a scouting trip. It's like, if I'm a week away from a scouting trip and I see everybody show up in their red shirts,
the troops.
It's like, okay. But then I start... And then I start thinking... You know, so what does the Lord think? Because kind of along the same train of thought is like...
What we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, Gene is not jumping.
Does the outside of the cup reflect the inside of the cup?
What happens if none of us are ready to travel? What, you know, if none of us are ready to go, how can he can't make it? And he said that time and time again.
Yeah.
And that was my reasoning behind that. Was I was just... My inspiration was just to do it, but then my thought was, yeah, you know, I wonder... Even if heaven, my thought was when he said, when he was talking about the Catholics. And he said, so, you know, if we do something here on earth, in the symbol of what it means, doesn't it become it?
Yeah.
So maybe...
Yeah.
When he said, maybe the wafer does become the body and blood.
Yeah.
And I had that thought. I was like, so maybe, and I wasn't thinking of it like you'd force the Lord's hand, but my afterwards, kind of my inspiration was, maybe if the Lord sees us just showing that we're ready to go, just showing that we're suited up, you know, we're all in support of this thing, maybe something will happen. You know?
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord, send me.
Yeah, but actually, you know, demonstrating something. I mean, not that we have to wear the red shirts every week,
right.
But it was just...
Yeah.
So Hebrews 5, strong meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, exercise themselves to discern both good and evil. Therefore, let us lay aside the doctrine of repentance of dead works. And so, you know, that's the vision. The vision is judging ourselves, and so that we have a right spirit to serve, and we're pleasing to the Lord. And moving on from the repentance of dead works. I mean, we've all been in the repentance of dead works for way too long. I mean, you know, I remember when I first came to the Lord, my big thing was giving up smoking pot. I just couldn't do it. Didn't have the faith to do it, didn't want to do it, you know, didn't believe it really mattered to the Lord whether I did it or not. He created the stuff.
Right.
I mean, I had all the excuses.
Yeah.
And so, but my conscience began to speak against me. After I became born again, after I was filled with the Spirit, my conscience began speaking against me and saying, you need to give this up, you know. And so my giving up is throwing the bag out the window and then going out and buying another one. And then throwing the bag out the window and buying another one, you know.
Because you wasted all that money.
Oh, yeah. And eventually my friends, you know, because I still had friends in the world, they said, just give it to us, and then
we'll
next week
you.
When you change your mind, we'll give it back to you.
Right.
You know, and when I saw that, I thought, you are hooked to the bondage. You know, so we can apply that principle each to our own lives. When we put something away, we're no longer in the bondage to it. You know, whether it's, you know, pornography or criticalness or control or anger or humanistic reasoning or whatever it is, you know, being led by emotion, we can put these things away and the Lord will give us grace to do it and we'll no longer be under bondage to it. And that is the beginning of growth. The beginning of growth, and he says it in verse 11. He says, you know, you're dull, and you need to be drinking milk again because you've forgotten the things, you know, because you haven't made them your own. But when you make them your own, you move out of that realm. You move out past something and into something else. And I'll tell you what, guys, when we do this, when we make this decision individually, and we start walking in this corporately, we start sharing this with each other, and we start praying for each other and fellowshipping each other, it's going to add a dimension to this body that we have yet to walk in. Because there's going to be a core of unity, and it can spread, and the body will start moving into the next things. But it begins by us putting away the baptism or the repentance of dead works. We need to move past it. We need to have faith. Others have done it, and we can do it. Amen.
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 Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.